welcome back to the Hammer Down Show on 101.7 The Hammer, 101.7thehammer.com. And I am so excited for this next guest, a man that I've known since probably 98. We battled many times from 2003. He's the longest tenured head coach in FBS as we speak right now. And that is one Mr. Kirk Ferentz from Iowa. Coach, how you doing?
Still, I'm doing well, and it's great to be on the show with you.
I appreciate that. Now, here's the thing. I was doing a little research on you, Coach, and there are many qualities of yours that I respect and love, but I'm looking here. You were born in my home state of Michigan.
Actually, my whole family is basically Michiganders. I was born in Royal Oak back in 1955 and lived there until third grade. We moved in third grade to Pittsburgh. My dad got a new job. So, but all my extended family, basically still lives in the state of Michigan. So we're very familiar with that state.
Yeah, I read that. I'm going, he didn't give me that little nugget when he was recruiting me. I don't remember that, but that was pretty cool when I saw that. So now when you played linebacker at Connecticut, did you know you wanted to be a coach?
I did. I actually, and I'll talk about my career, but in the words of my linebacker coach, a guy named Red Kellen, was a great coach, great man. He summed it up pretty well in one meeting. He says, Kirk, you know, you may be small, but you are slow. And, that kind of was, the nature of my career. So I had to try hard, I guess. And, I knew in 10th grade, actually, I had a high school coach that really impacted me in a very, very positive way. And, I remember that fall, it was late that fall, I just made up my mind I was going to teach school and coach high school football. And, ironically or coincidentally, I ended up getting another head coach my senior year. It was devastating. Our other coach was removed, and Joe Moore came to Upper St. Clair High School, and as impactful as Bill Merritt had been on me, Joe even amped it up that much more. So I made up my mind, you know, that's what I was going to do, and I was lucky a couple years later after I got out of college and I taught school for a couple years, I actually got to assist Joe Moore at the University of Pittsburgh as a grad assistant. So I was living the dream. I was with a man that I idolized, and he couldn't have been more generous in terms of sharing knowledge with me.
And, Coach, you know, 168 wins. This is, I don't know if this is up to this season, but 168 wins under your belt. You've been to 16 bowl games. Again, like I said, you're the longest tenured coach in FBS history. And as of this past September, you are now the most winningest coach at Iowa. How do you continue to have that success with all of the changes that happen every year in football?
Yeah, I think two things really. I think first of all, I was really lucky. It was dumb luck that I came here in 1981. I didn't know where the state was. Like, you know, I was kind of a small thinker being growing up in Pittsburgh and thought Chicago was the end of the world, you know, so I didn't know there was anything beyond it. So when I came out here, I had no idea what I was all about, where it was at. And the only thing I did know is they had a bad program. So I was really fortunate. I was able to land on a staff at the right time, the right staff at the right time. Coach Fry had done a great job on his first 2 years of really building this. And then our third year, my first year, his third year, we went to the Rose Bowl. So I just, you know, timed it up right. That was dumb luck all the way. But the point is, I was, I think it just gets down to since whether it was 1981 or even right now, I've been in a great place. It's a great place to coach and work. And then the other part is, just have been around great people, like every step of the way, whether it was the players that we've been able to work with here or the coaches, that I worked with back in the 80s, and same thing in the last 21 years. We've just had great, great people, and you got exposure to one of them, Norm Parker. They don't come any better than Norm.
Yep. Joining us on the Wins Etc. Hammerhead Hotline is Iowa head football coach Kirk Ferentz. And Coach, you know, during your time, obviously, you had some NFL experience, 3 years with the Cleveland Browns, 3 years with the Baltimore Ravens before you became the head coach at Iowa, 2006, 2008, 2009, a lot of rumors from 8 different teams saying you may make that jump, but you made an agreement with athletic director Gary Barta in 2009 on an 11-year contract. Why did you not want to make that jump back to the NFL?
Well, I mean, you and I both have had experience in the pros, and I don't want to read your mind or put words in your mouth, but I think every player that's come back here has always told our players, you know, you'll never have better years than years in college. I think
Absolutely.
There's just something about it, Absolutely. You know. And my dad was always respectful of me coaching in the NFL, but I could always tell with, you know, the unsaid words that he had in his mind. He always saw me as a college or a high school coach, and I think, you know, you have a chance maybe to impact and mold a little bit more at this age, so that part's been fun. There's a pure sense of competition, if you will. But I would suggest this too, the best organizations, you know, they still get that. There's still a real essence of teamwork and people really do care about each other. But I think, you know, you got a better chance of building that, in college or high school. And, the other factor is I've never had a compelling reason to leave. I've, you know, we've just been so fortunate. We fell in love with, the university and we fell in love with the state of Iowa back in the '80s, my wife and I. And, you know, the other nice thing about it, you know, I thought this might afford us an opportunity for our kids. We've raised five children, and I should say my wife has raised five kids.
Yeah.
But it gives them all an opportunity to know where home is, and that's something that's really hard to establish in this profession.
Yeah, you know what? I agree with you, Coach. I really don't even watch the NFL. I watch college. I love high school football, and I moved back here to West Lafayette to raise my kids in a college atmosphere, so I know what you're talking about having that stability in a college atmosphere. Now, Coach, when you I did not know this until you had told me this, but first year at Iowa, 1-10, 0-8 in the Big Ten. 4 years later.
Perfect record.
Hey, I went 0-16 with Detroit, so I know the feeling, all right?
Not fun.
Not fun at all. But then 4 years later, 11-2 with an 8-0 record in the Big Ten. How did you do it?
You know, again, it just gets back to the people. We had, you know, a really good coaching staff, and it was pretty much unheralded, much like the staff I joined here in 81. The one thing I noticed, you know, I started thinking about what happened in the 80s. We had we didn't have celebrity coaches here. It was a bunch of guys like me that probably never should have been hired, but Coach Fry saw something that's in us, every one of us, you know, and that includes Barry. Barry Alvarez was a high school coach when he hired him. You know, Bill Snyder had a great tenure at K-State. He was the coordinator at Austin College when he joined Coach Fry at North Texas. So Coach Fry had a real ability to see people, and same thing with the recruits. So when you think about, you know, the staff that we had an outstanding staff here, and then we also had a bunch of great stories in terms of football players. And we had some guys on the team like Matt Bowen and Aaron Campman that were already here.
Yep.
You know, but also guys like Bob Sanders, who nobody recruited, came here and was just such a dynamic difference maker type program, even though he's 5'8" and did the same thing with the Colts. We had guys like Bruce Nelson that started 4 years. It was a walk-on. Dallas Clark was a pretty average linebacker. When we got here, he was a walk-on linebacker, and we convinced him to try tight end. And, you know, so we just had a lot of really neat people, and then maybe as good a story as any is Brad Banks, who never started a college game till 2002 and ends up, you know, almost ruining our season. He just had kind of a meltdown against Iowa State, but then bounced back from that and led us undefeated the rest of the way through the season. So just a great story, and I think the greatest part of that story is that he experienced real hardship and then, you know, got back up on his feet and really led our football team. So those are the things that make coaching so fun.
Well, you know, you and Joe Tiller are both great recruiters. And, you know, during your time, you talked a little bit about how you can take players and develop them. And that's how I feel the judgment of a head coach is how he develops players, you know. Taking a guy, like you said, you have a lot of walk-ons, 2-3-star recruits, and develop them into NFL prospects. During your time, 70 players drafted, 9 first-round picks. What's your secret on finding these guys?
You know, when we got here, you know, I really, you know, you respect everybody, certainly, but I had a special respect for what Barry Alvarez had done at Wisconsin. They were really a bad program when I left in the late 80s. I went to University of Maine in 1989, and Barry took the job, I believe it was 90, the 90 season, and what he did to build that thing. And then, you know, when I get back here 9 years later, you know, you look across and Joe Tiller done the same thing, I think, at Purdue. You know, he just did a wonderful job building that program, and we so respected what they were doing. And I bring those two schools up because, you know, we don't recruit in the same neighborhood as maybe Ohio State or, you know, Auburn, Alabama, Florida. So, you know, we're taking a different kind of guy, and I think all of us have to see beyond maybe what the obvious is with players. And I mentioned a guy like Bob Sanders. The only reason Bob came here is he's 5'8". Otherwise, Penn State would have recruited him if he was 6'.
Mm-hmm.
So we ended up with him. And, you know, you just see things in players and don't put boundaries on guys that maybe some other schools do. But as you well know, and I think the thing, when I think about your career and looking across the field at you, I tell you, there's a lot to be said for, you know, having talent and ability, but there's a lot to be said for really wanting to play the game and really wanting to play it well. And I always looked at you as the same way I looked at Chad Greenway, just a guy of high energy that took great pride in everything that he did. And, you know, when you get guys like that, it's amazing how, you know, players like you or Chad or those other guys impact everybody else.
Yeah, and you know what, Coach, I always tell this story. You know, me and my father going out to South Dakota the night before Thanksgiving. Norm Parker, we show up late. Norm Parker's family's in town. And, I mean, at 1 o'clock, you turned the lights on. You had the facility open for us. And I mean, that was a special moment for me and my father. And I think it just shows the type of class and the type of respect you have for the athletes and the great ambassador you are for the Big Ten. And I get a chance to see you at the Big Ten Media Day. We exchange words for a little bit. A couple weeks later, I get a handwritten letter from you like I was getting recruited again. It brought back a lot of good memories, and it just shows the class and respect that I think that you have for the game.
Well, I just the respect is more than mutual, and that's why we were here at 1 o'clock, because we felt that way about you coming out of high school. You know, we just thought you were a very special player and a special prospect. Ironically, you were going to South Dakota, where you know, Greenway came from. Riley Reif also, yep. You know, some pretty good players out of South Dakota, so... but yeah, that's, you know, it's just that's what makes it fun. And I think what makes it fun too, to be in coaching and, what you're doing right now, you get to reconnect with people from, you know, 20 years ago or 15 years ago. And, as a coach, the fun part is to see guys grow up and be doing well in their adult lives and in all areas, not just professionally.
So Coach, when you think back to the early 2000s, when Purdue and Iowa would battle, what memories do you have, or what type of what do you think of the football back then? What comes to mind?
I'm sitting here chuckling because I can go back to 1982. We went over there and had a really hard loss. Gosh, it was a tough one. You know, it was 81 or 82. I'd have to look it up. But I remember coming back and Bill Snyder kind of picking me off the mat. I mean, it was a hard one. And 2001, same exact thing. It was over at your place, and we just had one of those losses where, you know, we couldn't do anything right. You guys really, you know, put the pressure on us from the defensive standpoint. And, you know, God, it was just hard. And, you know, so I'm a coach. I was thinking the negative stuff first. But, again, it just gets back to the respect that you have for people and people that are doing a great job. And now, you know, I think they've got a tremendous coach here with Coach Brohm. And, you know, they're up and running again.
And, Coach, talking about this game coming up Saturday, 25 freshmen, 11 sophomores, 9 juniors, and only 8 seniors. How do you prepare against a team that's full of kids that you don't know what's going to happen?
It's always interesting, and I think, you know, to your point, just bringing that up, that's probably not the roster balance that you're looking for. but it's amazing. It's amazing how, you know, talked earlier about, you know, things changing in this world, and you know, that is the way the world's going right now. We're recruiting guys. You know, they're not quite in preschool, but we're looking at them when they're in junior high now and all that stuff. I'm exaggerating, but I just came out of recruiting me, and we're talking about guys that have played 5 or 6 games as juniors in high school. And I mentioned our coaches. I said, you know, just think about all the guys we've had that have gone to the NFL that we offered either in December or January and ended up being really good football players. And every guy I mentioned a little while ago fit that category. So, you know, the world's speeding up that way, and then, you know, we kind of suffered from that a little bit. We had a really good game in the bowl game against Mississippi State, and on January 2nd, we're sitting on the plane getting ready to, you know, take off, come back to Iowa, and I'm looking at my wife, I said, this is just sick. You know, we should be really feeling good about the season, enjoying it. Mm-hmm. What a great group of guys to work with, and, you know, feeling so good about it. And I'm sitting there on the plane lamenting the fact that we're probably going to lose 4 underclassmen, and you know, it's just crazy. And we did lose 4 guys that opted to go to the draft, and 2 of them ended up being first rounders, which I understand totally, but we also had a couple of mid round picks, and it's going to work out just fine for those guys. But we're just living in a new era right now. So I know from our vantage point, we're more at the play guys in their first year if we think they can help us and if we think they're ready, because there's no guarantee they're going to be around for their senior year. So I think, you know, we're going to see younger and younger teams out there, I think, on an annual basis now.
Well, Coach, it goes by too quickly. I can't thank you enough again for coming on the show. It's been a pleasure reconnecting with you because, again, I have the utmost respect for you and what you represent, the ambassador you are for the Big Ten, how you recruit your kids, how you coach. You coach it with class and respect. And when I think about the coaches in my history, Tiller, D'Antonio, and Kirk Ferentz are always the top three on my list. So, again, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show.
Well, again, that mutual that respect is more than mutual. I just admired your career. We're sorry you weren't in black and gold. We are black and gold, at least, you know, when you were playing so well. But just so happy everything's worked out so well for you. And I'm happier that your adult life's going so great, too. So it's been a pleasure, and I really, I'm glad we were able to reconnect.
Well, thank you very much, Coach. And, hey, I wish you the best of luck this weekend. I'm going to be excited to watch the game. Tell Bob Sanders I said hello, knowing that he's a captain. And then, obviously, I wish you the best of luck, and thank you very much.